and which make you cherished. Did Epicurus speak falsely? Who would have known of Idomeneus had not the philosopher thus engraved his name in those letters of his? All the grandees and satraps, even the king himself, who was petitioned for the title which Idomeneus sought, are sunk in deep oblivion. Cicero's letters keep the name of Atticus from perishing. It would have profited Atticus nothing to have an Agrippa for a son-in-law, a Tiberius for the husband of his granddaughter, and a Drusus Caesar for a great-grandson. Amid these mighty names, his name would never be spoken, had not Cicero bound him to himself. The deep flood of time will roll over us. Some few great men will raise their heads above it, and, though destined at the last to depart into the same realms of silence, will battle against oblivion and maintain their ground for long. That which Epicurus could promise his friend, this I promise you, Lucilius. I shall find favor among later generations. I can take with me names that will endure as long as mine. Our poet Virgil promised an eternal name to two heroes and is keeping his promise. Blessed heroes twain, if power my song possess, the record of your name shall never be erased from out the book of time, while yet Aeneas's tribe shall keep the capital, that rock immovable, and Roman sire shall empire hold. Whenever men have been thrust forward by fortune, whenever they have become part and parcel of another's influence, they have found abundant favor. Their houses have been thronged, only so long as they themselves have kept their position. When they themselves have left it, they have slipped at once from the memory of men. But in the case of innate ability, the respect in which it is held increases, and not only does honor accrue to the man himself, but whatever has attached itself to his memory is passed on from one to another. In order that Idomeneus may not be introduced free of charge into my letter, he shall make up the indebtedness from his own account. It was to him that Epicurus addressed the well-known saying, urging him to make Pythocles rich, but not rich in the vulgar and equivocal way. If you wish, said he, to make Pythocles rich, do not add to his store of money, but subtract from his desires. This idea is too clear to need explanation, and too clever to need reinforcement. There is, however, one point on which I would warn you, not to consider that this statement applies only to riches. Its value will be the same, no matter how you apply it. If you wish to make Pythocles honorable, do not add to his honors, but subtract from his desires. If you wish Pythocles to have pleasure forever, do not add to his pleasures, but subtract from his desires. If you wish to make Pythocles an old man, filling his life to the full, do not add to his years, but subtract from his desires. There is no reason why you should hold that these words belong to Epicurus alone. They are public property. I think we ought to do in philosophy as they are wont to do in the Senate. When someone has made a motion, of which I approve to a certain extent, I ask him to make his motion in two parts, and I vote for the part which I approve. So, I am all the more glad to repeat the distinguished words of Epicurus, in order that I may prove to those who have recourse to him through a bad motive, thinking that they will have in him a screen for their own vices, that they must live honorably, no matter what school they follow. Go to his garden and read the motto carved there. Stranger, here you will do well to tarry. Here our highest good is pleasure. The caretaker of that abode, a kindly host, will be ready for you. He will welcome you with barley meal and serve you water also in abundance with these words. Have you not been well entertained? This garden, he says, does not whet your appetite. It quenches it. Nor does it make you more thirsty with every drink. It slakes the thirst by a natural cure, a cure that demands no fee. This is the pleasure in which I have grown old. In speaking with you, however, I refer to those desires which refuse alleviation, which must be bribed to cease. For in regard to the exceptional desires which may be postponed, which may be chastened and checked, I have this one thought to share with you. A pleasure of that sort is according to our nature, but it is not according to our needs. One owes nothing to it. Whatever is expended upon it is a free gift. The belly will not listen to advice. It makes demands, it importunes. And yet it is not a troublesome creditor. You can send it away at small cost, provided only that you give it what you owe, not merely all you are able to give. Farewell. Letter 22. On the Futility of Halfway Measures. You understand by this time that you must withdraw yourself from those showy and depraved pursuits, but you still wish to know how this may be accomplished. There are certain things which can be pointed out only by someone who is present. The physician cannot prescribe by letter the proper time for eating or bathing. He must feel the pulse. There is an old adage about gladiators, that they plan their fight in the ring as they intently watch. Something in the adversary's glance, some movement of his hand, even some slight bending of his body gives a warning. We can formulate general rules and commit them to writing as to what is usually done, or ought to be done. Such advice may be given not only to our absent friends, but also to succeeding generations. In regard, however, to that second question, when or how your plan is to be carried out, no one will advise at long range. We must take counsel in the presence of the actual situation. You must be not only present in the body, but watchful in mind, if you would avail yourself of the fleeting opportunity. Accordingly, look about you for the opportunity. If you see it, grasp it, and with all your energy and with all your strength, devote yourself to this task, to rid yourself of those business duties. Now, listen carefully to the opinion which I shall offer. It is my opinion that you should withdraw either from that kind of existence or else from existence altogether. But I likewise maintain that you should